Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
It's just the normal noises in here.
This is Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Bachman Turner Overdrive, Not Fragile.
Okay.
So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, after gaining some recognition from the success of the band's previous album, Bachman Turner Overdrive got around to recording Not Fragile. Not only had one of the three Bachman brothers, Tim, the rhythm guitarist, left the band but to BTO's advantage, but Randy Bachman and C.F. Turner had clearly grown musically. To the album's benefit, most of the material on Not Fragile are the band's much-liked rock anthems, ranging from the hyper-distorted title track through the famous but far more timid song You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Indeed, for hard rock fanatics, it doesn't come much better than Not Fragile. Randy's electrifying lead guitar here is here more raucous than ever before, as are his rowdy vocals, particularly noticeable on the predictable but fun Sledgehammer. The man steals the show on Not Fragile through his extensive and often astounding guitar solos. Generally through, though, Bachman-Turner Overdrive are at their prime as a whole, both in songwriting and playing terms. As regards the mixing, it's hard to find fault with this release. The drums are clear, but not so prominent that they dominate the recording, while the guitars, along with the bass, are kept rigidly in their place. Not Fragile is one of the finest arena rock albums of the era, featuring all the hallmarks of what makes a classic release in the genre. Randy's impressive guitar work and typically boisterous vocals complement the overall framework of the album, superbly. As do the crunchy rhythm guitars. This release will astound fans of the genre and band, while those thoroughly against stadium rock may find something to convert their views. All right, so this is their third studio album, and it was released in August of 1974. And the genres are hard rock, arena rock, and blues rock, and was released on Mercury Records and produced by Randy Bachman. And there are 9 songs on the album, and I believe it doesn't really say where side one and side two begins and ends, but I believe they're probably 5 and 4. So what we'll do is the album starts with the song Not Fragile, and we'll end it with the song Freewheelin'. We'll discuss halfway through, and if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, you can stop it after the song Freewheelin', and we'll have a discussion at the halfway point. And I've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music, so you can get it on your preferred streaming service. And without further ado, here is the first song, which is also the title track, Not Fragile. So here we go. We're ending side one there with Freewheelin', which is an instrumental track. So I have a few things about this album. I'm having a bit of a hard time connecting with Randy Bachman's vocals.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been one of those guys you kind of have to get used to. I'm used to, you know, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. I've heard that song many, 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 many times.
That was his best vocal performance, and we'll get to it later, but I think there's a reason for that. But the title track, Not Fragile, and Rock Is My Life, I didn't really feel anything from his vocals. And then Roll On Down the Highway was sung by Fred Turner. That was better vocals. And I was like, okay, now I can get into this. But
Not Fragile was sung by Fred Turner.
That was, oh yeah, you're right. It was. No, yeah. Randy Bachman, Rock Is My Life.
Yeah. No, that one song I kind of had a little bit of trouble with anyway. I guess it's not terrible, but it's certainly not the best on the album. It's just, I don't know. It's a bit of a filler song. The other ones were pretty good. I liked Freewheel, and it was a pretty good instrumental. That's not bad.
In some of the lead guitar work, it reminded me a little bit of the Allman Brothers and a little bit of Jerry Garcia.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Like, obviously, Randy Bachman was in the Guess Who before this, and, you know, he left the Guess Who because they were partying too much, and he didn't want anything to do with that. So, yeah, so he went off and you know, started his own band. And, yeah, he's one of those guitar players that I don't think, like, he's a good songwriter, and he writes good lyrics, and he's a great guitar player, but he doesn't often get recognized in those sort of, maybe he does in Canada, but not.
Yeah, that's part of the thing, is he's Canadian, and that's always been a little bit of a hurdle when it comes to the international stage of guitar players, or really anything. There's only very few people who've managed to actually been able to get over that hump.
And, you know, you would think of all the guitar players that Randy Bachman would get some recognition because, you know, like, he was in two very successful bands that were successful outside of Canada. You know, you would think that because of that, he would, you know, get that sort of, you know, recognition, but for whatever reason, he mostly gets ignored. But, you know, he's as good as anybody, really. And he's a very innovative guitar player too. I mean, I think of that, like, going back to his days in the Guess Who, that lead part in American Woman, like, you know, that's, you know, sort, I guess it's sort of reminiscent of the lead part in Sympathy for the Devil, but it's I don't know which one came out first, but
yeah, they're pretty much around the same time, aren't they? American Woman came out 69. Sympathy for the Devil came out 69, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure what actually hit first.
Yeah. But I mean, he's coming up with these interesting guitar parts, and, you know, and also, like, elevating the song. And that's what I'm seeing here, is he's not a show off, you know. And in a song like Freewheeling, where he does get to stretch out a little bit, he's very musical, you know. He's not just, like, you know, playing, you know, to make himself look good. He's, you know, exactly. Yeah.
It's an important job when it comes to a musician, is mm-hmm. to play for the music you're doing, because if you're not playing for the music that you're creating, I'm not 100% sure what you're doing. So, I mean, the music you're creating is kind of the point. So,
yeah, I agree. The best guitar players out there are the ones who come up with parts that serve the song. They come up with an appropriate, it might be a really easy, simple guitar part, but maybe that's what the song needs. And, you know, on a song like You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, I think that might be, like, Rollin' Down the Highway is good, but I think that might be my favorite song so far. And I know it's one of their bigger hits, but I think what makes that song, it just occurred to me, I think what makes that song work really well is you've got the first part, which is this sort of loose, jangly sort of thing with the guitar in the clean guitar and the tambourine. And it's just, you know, sort of this, it fills out the space really well. And then when the chorus comes, that stops and you just get the power chords, and it's a jolt. It's like, it's a sudden stop and it's like, bam. And it's like, it makes you pay attention, you know? And I think the contrast between those two sort of parts are what make that song really work well. It's like, it keeps your interest.
It's a juxtaposition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I think that is true. I mean, it's a very well-written pop song, rock and roll song. You know, Randy Bachman's vocals, his choice of the stutter is an interesting choice, but it makes the song work.
Yeah. Well, I did find some facts about the, we'll get into that when we get to that, because there's a reason for that. For this album, though, I think it didn't do a whole lot outside of Canada. In terms of sales, it did. It actually, it went triple platinum, but I couldn't find anything of confirming whether that was in Canada or in the US, because platinum in Canada means something different than it does in the US. I think, platinum in the US means 1 million. I think platinum in Canada is 500,000 sales. So I don't know if,
it's a smaller market.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they say triple platinum, I don't know if that means 3 million or 1.5 million. There wasn't a whole lot. I didn't find a whole lot of reviews from the time that this album came out. But as far as I can tell, I mean, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, Rollin' Down the Highway, it got pretty significant airplay on rock radio. But I think, I know we always talk about, like, if this album were to come out today, would it do anything? Would it, you know, make an impact? And I don't think it would. I think it's a good album, but it's of its time.
It's very definitely a 1970s rock album. And there's a certain amount of that 1970s rock style that just doesn't, as much as I love it, doesn't really belong anywhere else. And, you know, there's been bands that have come along that have been inspired by stuff like that. And have, you know, some of them have managed to actually make a career out of it, but it's not, in a lot of cases, they still seem to be outliers. And yeah, in the early 2000s, when they sort of came about, they were, they sort of fit in with a little bit of that, garage rock revival sort of thing. Although they were a little bit more polished than the normal garage rock, like you say, what Jack White was doing or what the Black Keys were doing.
You know, that was even a while ago too. That was like 15, 20 years ago now too. And I think the only band that comes close to this that came out within the last few years is Greta Van Fleet, and they get made fun of for sounding too much like Led Zeppelin. I can't think of another band that has come out in the last few years that has made an impact that has this sound, this, you know, that power chord sort of, you know, hard rock sound.
It's really tough. It's sort of bleak as a rock fan. I think it's perfectly fine as an album of its time.
So yeah, I did manage to find a few facts. There isn't a whole lot of information on the album, but so getting back to the song You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, it was actually recorded as a joke. So I guess their brother Gary Bachman actually has a stutter. He spoke with a stutter, and they recorded the song. They recorded it as an instrumental, and he just wrote some nonsense lyrics just really quickly. And it was only intended to be sent to the brother for him to hear it. It wasn't never meant to be on the album, but the record company, when they handed the album into the record company, they said, well, like, this album is too short. We need another song or two.
We need a hit.
And it wasn't that. It's just, they just needed another song for the album to fill it out. So they put that on. The reason it was actually never released as a single initially, it became a hit because radio stations started to play it from the album. It never was intended to be a hit.
Interesting. It's definitely one of the better songs. At least, you know, we've gone through the first half of the album, and it's definitely one of the better songs on that half for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's why Randy Bachman's vocals, I like his vocals in that song better than anything else that he's sung, because he's not trying. He's just having fun. I think he overthinks it a little bit too much. And I think that might be his block. And I think because he actually said he did try to re-record the vocals without the stutter, and he didn't like it. He thought he sounded too much like Frank Sinatra or something. So they left it with the original vocals, and it just worked.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I can't put my finger on why it works, but it does. It's of all the things to make a song work, doing an imitation of your stuttering brother.
And so the other thing that I found that I thought was interesting is the title of the album is actually a response to Yes, Fragile.
Yes, it's Fragile. Yes, I did know that too.
Randy Bachman thought it was strange and funny that a rock and roll album would be called Fragile. So he thought, well, you know, he wanted, like, I guess he wanted Bachman Turner Overdrive. He thought, well, we have a kind of a heavier sound, so this is something you could, you know, knock around and it won't break. So it's not Fragile. So I thought that was interesting. I never knew that. I never made that connection.
I did. I've heard about Randy Bachman talk about it. I think he mentioned it on his CBC show a couple of times. You know, he thought it was a little bit funny having an album called Fragile, and he figured, well, I put out an album called Not Fragile, and being a heavy rock album, it kind of works. And the picture on the box is, or the picture on the cover is, a box full of gears. It's a good visual for a hard rock album.
So yeah, but I guess we'll get into the second side of the album. But before we do that, let's hear from our friends over at The Worst Podcast on Mars. So so check that out.
I'm Amanda, and that's Evan. Say hi, Evan.
Hi, Evan.
And we're the hosts of The Worst Podcast on Mars. This is the podcast that talks music. And on Fridays, we work our way through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list of 200 definitive albums. I do a bunch of research trying to figure out why it's on this list. And on Tuesdays, we do smaller episodes that are not part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list. And Evan, well, he just literally shows up. So if that's what you're into, please find us on Apple Music or Spotify.
But not Mars. Yet.
We'll now take a few seconds before we begin side two. Thank you. Here's side two.
All right, and ending the album with Giving It All Away. Yeah, this is a pretty solid album. I mean, I was a little too hard on Randy Bachman's vocals, but yeah, this is pretty solid.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I mean, you know, some of the songs are better than other ones, but throughout the second half, there was a few more songs that I think were actually worth a listen. So yeah, it was all right. So I think so.
Yeah, I mean, like it's funny. Some of the production on this, it's very. I know we were saying that it's of its time, but it doesn't really have that really dry 70s production. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty, you can hear the room and it's pretty lively, you know, it's pretty, I guess that's, you know, sort of the point of what quote unquote arena rock, but
yeah, the early 70s was more like that though. Once you got into the mid and late 70s, it was a little bit drier and sort of, and it also sort of depends on the genre. But yeah, you listen to Led Zeppelin albums or something like that, they don't have that dry.
Oh, no. I mean, when the levee breaks, the drums on that are huge and reverb, you know. Yeah, so this, it almost sounded like, parts of it sounded more 80s than 70s rock, which is when they went overboard with reverb, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, this is a, yeah, it's not quite like that.
It's, you know, they're not really breaking any new ground with the album. You know, it's a solid rock and roll album. It's a solid, like, hard rock. You know, not exactly, you know, reinventing the wheel, but you know, it's that not every album has to, and not every band has to.
No, in fact, around 1974 is when a lot of rock bands are starting to become a little bit funkier. And I noticed, it was around 1974, a little bit of 73, but mostly around 1974. Suddenly, you know, the bass player got a little bit more gumption. To experiment a little bit more, and the music just seemed to reflect. It was before disco, but funk was definitely sort of giving its influence around that period. This album was a little bit before that, or at least it sounds like it's a little bit before that. But yeah, that's not to take away from anybody's abilities or anything like that. But around 1974, most bands were definitely becoming a little bit funkier and stuff like that. So, but this is still pretty, you know, straight ahead, meat and potatoes, rock and roll.
Like I'm not that familiar with their other albums, but I'm wondering. They seem to sort of carry that torch throughout their career of just, you know, straight ahead rock and roll,
which is fine. I've always been a little bit more of a fan of the Guess Who than Bachman Turner Overdrive personally, but that's not to say that, you know, BTO isn't, you know, a good band. I mean, there's several good songs on this album and, you know, other songs they've come up with are definitely jams. I just think the Guess Who has a little bit more of a sophistication to it, I guess, that I kind of like.
Yeah. And you know, you really can't go wrong with Burton Cummings' vocals.
I know that guy can sing.
He can really sing. And I think maybe that's why I was a little too hard on Randy Bachman, because I was sort of thinking, like, you left the Guess Who to do this? You know, but
I mean, he has his reasons, and that's, you know, and you know, doing something, it's never an easy choice to do something like that, but sometimes you just kind of have to do something like that for your own sanity. And even if, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the case, but even if the results are substandard to what you were doing before, it's sometimes still better to do that for your own sanity.
Well, yeah, there comes to a point. Well, I think he said the reason he left is like they were just they were getting wild and getting too into drugs, and he was straight edge before straight edge was a thing. And so he didn't want to be a part of that anymore. No matter how good the music is, you're right. You have to protect your well-being first. I mean, that has to be the most important
thing. If you don't have your health, you don't really have much of anything. I mean, you can have everything, but if you don't have your health, ultimately that everything is going to be very short-lived.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, he had to get out of that situation, and then they got back together, and now they're in some sort of legal battle with the name, and a little bit complicated, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So what if, okay, if you could pick your three favorite songs on the album, what do you think they would be?
It's hard to beat, you know, the You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet and Roll On Down the Highway are probably the best, but I was surprised by, well, Free Willin's a really good instrumental. I kind of liked Blue Moanin', but I was kind of surprised by Secondhand. I think I like that one quite a bit. So it's probably my third favorite, Secondhand.
I'm going to pick the same three. I agree. I mean, I think those are the three strongest songs on the album. Yeah. So would you then, so with that in mind, would you listen to the whole album again?
Probably. Yeah, we might even have it around here somewhere. Yeah, I think I'd probably put it on at some other point. Yeah. I don't know if it's like, you know, top of my priorities or anything like that, but I don't know. I certainly wouldn't complain if it came on again.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, yeah, I would definitely listen to it again. I think, you know, if I'm in the, maybe not the whole album, but definitely a few songs on it. You know, if I'm in a mood to just, you know, listen to some just really good rock, like hard rock, yeah, I'd definitely put it on. So yeah, I would absolutely listen to it again. So I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. You can, if you want to join the community, you can do that in a couple ways. You can head on over to Reddit. We have a subreddit, and you know, you can join up there and discuss with other fans of the show and you know, talk about music and we post the episodes there, so you can comment on the episodes and just hang out there. And you can also go to our Patreon. We have a chat function there, so you can get in touch with us there, and you can check out some of the cool features. Like, you can get these episodes the day before they go live, and you can even pick an album for us to review, so that's pretty cool. So just go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. All of those links are in the description. And I think that just about does it. Oh, you can also follow us on Instagram. Follow the link in the description there. And that'll take you to our Instagram page as well. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.